Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 95 of the Panelcast. Our road to 100 continues. I am AJ, and with me this week, long time no see, Mr. Brian. What's going on?
Hey, not too much.
So in this episode, we are going to be catching up on some more news, which is surprising considering we just recorded an episode last night and talked about news then. But then we'll also be going over figuring out what Brian has been up to and why doesn't he love us anymore. All that and more on this episode of the Panelcast. We'll be right back.
I'm serious, girl.
Nerd girl, I don't deserve you. I don't get the references you refer to. I love your lips, smack is in your lack of perfume. I hope to get you home by curfew. Word up!
Hey, this is Brian of the Forbidden Panel Podcast. I just want to invite you to listen to my companion podcast, The Geek Girls, featuring one-on-one interviews with geeky ladies. Look for Geek Girls on ForbiddenPanel.com.
All right, so we're back. All right, AJ, what kind of stories you got for us?
Crazy, horrible, scary stories. Stories that'll make you cry.
I'm already crying, man.
I know you are. Anyway, so stories right now. There's a little bit of an Ultimate Spider-Man update. As many of you know, as we discussed yesterday, Ultimate Spider-Man has been renewed for Season 2, and sacrificing Avengers Earth's Mightiest Hero because of it. But anywho, Commerce Continuum has an interesting story and tidbit about what the next episode of Ultimate Spider-Man is going to be. That one will be featuring Wolverine. The blurb they have up is that Stephen Bloom returns to a familiar voice, Wolverine, in Freaky, the episode of Ultimate Spider-Man premiering on Disney XD on Sunday. On television, Bloom has also voiced Wolverine in Wolverine the X-Men, the Superhero Squad show, and X-Men anime. He's also voiced Wolverine in Marvel's direct-to-video movies and in several video games. Here's how the episode is described. Spider-Man and Wolverine must overcome their clashing styles of personality to team up against supervillains Mesmero and Sabretooth. When they find themselves looking through each other's eyes, team up takes on a whole new meaning. I can't read today, guys. I'm sorry. This episode is part of Disney XD's Ultimate Father's Day Marathon and should premiere this Saturday. Or Sunday. Marvel's on Sunday. So it's kind of cool seeing Wolverine back into the animated line of work. The pictures I have of him look really cool. So, and I'm digging the show. Have you seen the show yet, Brian?
No, I haven't. I really haven't seen anything since Wolverine and the X-Men.
Oh, okay.
So,
Ultimate Spider-Man's kind of cool. It's a little slapsticky, but it's not as bad as Superhero Squad, and but not as serious as Wolverine and the X-Men. So there's a little bit of play inside there, but it's pretty cool. You should check it out when you have a chance.
Yeah, I might give it a look.
What do you got?
All right. Well, I got some good news for people that live in Denver, Colorado. The first ever Comic-Con is coming there. It's going to be this weekend from June 15th through June 17th. So it's kind of exciting news whenever a comic convention comes into a new city, I think, for all the people living there. I mean, I'm sure you know what kind of excitement there can be from starting your own comic convention.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, neither do I.
Who's going to be there? What kind of special guests do they have?
You know, I really don't know. I tried looking up some information about it, and really the only information that I found so far is that they are going to be holding it at the Colorado Convention Center, but I guess I could have taken a little bit more time to try to find out exactly what sort of guests are going to be there.
See what happens when you slack the way you have been.
Yeah,
take
I know.
All this time off, you can't even come back in your A game. Lucky for you, I am on my A game. They have TV and film guests coming out, including James Marsters, Kristen Bauer from True Blood, Billy West, the voice of Fry, Jessica Nichol from Fringe. Who else they got? Greg Weissman, one of the voices from Young Justice, a show I still love, by the way. Bruce Boxleitner, Aaron Douglas from Battlestar Galactica, Moving over to the Artist Alley side, we got Michael Allred from iZombie, X-Force, The Atomics, and Mad Men. Who else? J. Scott Campbell, Matt Campbell will be out there. What else we got? I'm still looking around, guys. Just bear with me.
Seems that there's actually some things that I would be excited about checking out, especially with Billy West and Bruce Boxleitner.
Zach Howard, the artist behind The Cape, that one comic book that we both liked from Hill.
The good one, right?
Not the bad TV show. No, the good one.
Okay.
James O'Barr, the creator of The Crow, is going to be out there. There's a lot of Gail Simone, a lot of people going out there. Ben Templesmith, Neil Adams. All this can be found out on DenverComicCon.com, which, you know, Brian should really have checked out before doing this story, but that's okay.
Well, I just gave it a glance, so.
We still love Brian. It's all right. Don't worry, Brian. So there you have it, Denver Comic Con this weekend. Awesome. Moving right along, one of Brian's favorite comics, he should be talking about this story, but I stole it from him because I'm an asshole. Disney has just made a preemptive pitch deal for The Stuff of Legend, a comic book by Peter Candelan. With Peter Candelan attached to direct, and Abduction Son Christensen writing the script. Stuff of Legend is a graphic novel written by Michael Recht and Brian Smith and illustrated by Charles Paul Wilson III. Has a bit of a Toy Story and a Chronicles of Narnia feel in it. Basically, it's about a young boy in 1945 who is abducted by the Boogeyman, dragged by the ankles into the closet realm known as the Dark. The boy's puppy rallies his toys to follow his master on a rescue mission. Once in the closet, each of those toys become menacingly large and agile creatures who engage in a war with the Boogeyman's forces. Those armies are comprised of the other toys stored in the closet, a mix of medieval knights, cowboys, and toy soldiers. The intention is to make a live-action film set in a CGI world like Alice in Wonderland. So you've read the book. How do you like it?
It's definitely one of my favorite series that's going on right now. So I'm pretty excited for it to be translated into a film version. I think that could actually work out pretty well.
Provided they do it right. Of course, I mean, that's the stigma on everything that they translate.
I think that's pretty much a given anytime you're talking about a translation to film is if they do it right.
Right. What do you got, Brian?
There's a upcoming comic book series, a short series from Vertigo artist Sean Gordon Murphy that actually seems like it's kind of interesting, called Punk Rock Jesus. It's an attempt to, I guess, harken back to the more sort of independent style underground comics that, you know, move away a little bit from the kind of superhero-y type thing. This one, I don't know. It seems pretty interesting. I like the whole kind of punk rock, rough sort of sketchy artwork style that it has to it. And I don't really know a whole lot about the artist's previous works. It says that he's worked on Hellblazer and American Vampire, but I only know – I've read some of the Hellblazer stuff but not any of the more recent things. So I can't really comment as to – you know, what he's going to end up bringing with his particular style
right
to it. But, I mean, the comic book itself seems like it's a pretty interesting idea.
Awesome. Moving right along. For those of you who are as excited as I am about the new Total Recall remake that's coming out here, I'm going to pop your bubble right now and make you hate us. Spoiler alert, by the way, if you don't want to hear the section, fast forward about 2 minutes. Many of you were wondering if you looked at the cast list on IMDb, what character Ethan Hawke will be playing in the movie coming up. Well, apparently the secret is out. Not to give away too much, this is a direct quote from BleedingCool.com, not to give away too much, one of the big differences between the earlier film and this film is that not only do they erase his memory, but they change the way he looks, so he has a different face. Ethan plays who he was before they wiped his mind and changed his face. So there you go. Ethan Hawke will take over the role for Colin Farrell at some point in time in the movie. Yeah. Me no happy about that.
Well, at least it isn't Skeet Ulrich.
Ah, very true. Very, very true.
That was mean.
That was very mean. Skeet's at home crying right now.
Yeah, because I'm sure he's a regular listener.
Right. What else you got?
There's another story that I've been following a little bit online, sort of this online controversy. For anybody out there who is familiar with the webcomic artist known as The Oatmeal, I believe his real name is... God, I'm terrible with remembering people's names. Mark something. But anyway, the story goes that The Oatmeal contacted a website known as Funny Junk, which is essentially like a user-contributed site. The users log in and are able to upload things to the site that they find funny, and then the site makes money essentially by pasting advertising over it and then getting money from click-throughs. So The Oatmeal was notified that essentially this website was making a bunch of money off of his website but not driving any traffic to him, and they were not, you know, they were using up his bandwidth, but he wasn't getting any of the ad revenue that they were getting off of his material. So he contacted them and, you know, basically asked them to shut it down, and it kind of started this whole big thing. Basically what happened is he sent them a copyright infringement notice, and they said, well, we can't do anything about it because users are uploading it. So he sort of pressed them on it and sent a cease and desist letter just saying that, you know, he didn't want to have to do legal proceedings. But so they went ahead, they took down some of the links, but they left up quite a bit of his other material. And then he complained about it again publicly on his own webpage. And so in response, Funny Junk decided to send him a notice saying that they were going to sue him for $20,000.
For what? Defamation of character?
I don't know. I mean, they essentially, I've read the responses and the things that they say, but they're somehow trying to say that, you know, I don't know, that I guess that he's somehow hurting their company, but I don't know.
Exactly. Well, it's not exactly, you know, it's like slander at that point, because it's not like he's lying.
Well, no, because everything he's saying is true.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely true that they are, you know, they're making money off of his material, which, you know, I mean, a lot of websites sort of have this user-contributed model, and it's fine. I mean, Eminem himself is not, you know, he's not particularly have a problem with it, because he contributes himself to Reddit a lot. And I mean, what he wants is for people to just link to his site so that he can get some traffic and he can get, you know, people coming in and buying his merch and things like that. I mean, is really is all he's asking. And they were unwilling to do that. And they were unwilling to stop people from sort of like hosting his material. So he asked them to just remove all of the content, and they refused to do that as well. As far as I haven't really been able to exactly figure out what Funny Junk thinks that they're going to accomplish by demanding $20,000. But
well, it looks like Funny Junk is trying to say that its users are the ones that are uploading it, so they have no
right.
They can't be held accountable for anything that's done by their users. But at the same time, from what I see, it's Michael Inman, and he's just asking that, you know, if you're going to post my shit, at least put a link up to my website, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really, they don't have any grounds whatsoever for this, and I fully expect that, you know, if it ever does go to court, it's going to be thrown out immediately, because they don't... I mean, YouTube, I know, went through a lot of the same problem when YouTube first was getting started, and they ended up having to make a lot of changes to the site because they couldn't just say, oh, well, all these other people are uploading stuff and we can't do anything about it. You know, they ended up having to change their model, and I imagine that Funny Junk is going to have to do that at some point too.
Right. I'm looking at all this stuff news-wise. Looks like Funny Junk sent them an email saying, accordingly, a demand is hereby made upon you to perform the following remedial acts on or before June 12, 2012. Remove all mention of Funny Junk and funnyjunk.com from the oatmeal.com from your website and any other website over which you have control. Deliver me a check in the amount of $20,000 payable to the order of Funny Junk LLC. I look forward to your prompt response. Wow.
Right. Which they can't do because they can't legally tell someone you're not allowed to talk about our website.
Right. It's the web.
Right. Well, you know, and it's free speech. I mean, right. He has the right to say whatever he wants about Funny Junk because he's not making money from their content. He's talking about them as a company expressing his opinion. I mean, it's completely different from what they were doing. So yeah, like I said, I don't see what sort of grounds they have for doing the things that they're doing. So.
What I like is, you know, again, I'm looking at this right now, and apparently, you know, when he got that letter in the mail, he was like, okay, so he drew a funny picture of the guy's mother having sex with a Kodiak bear.
Right, which is his right to do.
At which point he said, okay, well, let me see what I can do to raise the money. He went to the internet and raised $100,000 in an hour.
Right.
And he's going to give that money to charity. Man, this is an awkward story, man. What a bunch of assholes.
I know, but it's not the first time that a website which profits off of other people's content has done something like this. So.
No, you know what? If you look at our website, what we do is we gather news from all over the web and we post it on our website so people can have one place to look for it instead of having to search for all these different sites. But at the same time, we post links to the original article and give credit to the people that wrote it.
Right, because it's usually, when it comes down to it, I mean, that's what most of these websites want, is they just want, if you're going to host their content, they want you to drive traffic back to their site.
Right, and that's totally understandable, which is what we try to do in our site. So I don't understand why, when it's original artwork like this guy's creating, why this website can't do the same thing. That's just ridiculous. I mean, he's not asking for much. He's just saying, yo, please put up a...
No, he didn't even ask him for money.
No, he's like, just put up a link, damn it. That's all I'm asking you to. No, yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, is that all you got for this segment?
Yep, I think so.
Then let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out why Brian doesn't love us anymore. Be right back.
Guys, this is Daniel Corey. I'm the founder of Danger Cat Creative Studio, and I want to tell you real quick about my upcoming comic, Moriarty, The Dark Chamber. It's about Professor Moriarty, the arch nemesis of Sherlock Holmes. I'm working with artist Anthony Diachadua on it, letterer Dave Lampier. Please go to DangerCat.com and check it out. That's DangerCat.com. And please go over to Kickstarter.com. We're running a campaign right now to try to raise funds for the production of the book. So, shoot us an email, let us know how you like it, and we'll see you on the web.
And welcome back, everybody. In this segment, we're going to talk about what's been keeping Brian occupied all this time. Brian, what's going on, man?
Well, do you want to hear about the X-rated stuff or just the comics and things I've been reading?
Hey, whatever fills the time, man. We got nothing but time on this show.
All right, well, I'll start with the comics, and then we'll move on to the dirtier stuff.
Awesome.
All right, so I've actually been trying to read some new comics instead of just catching up on all of the old ones like I mostly do. So I started reading out of the new DC comics, I started reading the Batman from the New 52 lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Just the series titled Batman, not the one of the other 7 or 12 other ones that they have.
Right.
So far I'm digging it pretty good. I'm about 5 issues into it, so I'm not all the way caught up with where it's at right now, but
well, what storyline are you on right now?
The storyline is dealing with what's the guy's name? The owl. He's like some sort of like ninja assassin character that is a new character.
The guy from the
past? That was introduced. Yeah.
Cool.
And so it's like this essentially it's a new character that's introduced, not one of the more familiar Batman villains, but he's this kind of a assassin that belongs to this brotherhood of unknown, as you know, like people that are allegedly control Gotham. And so basically that's the plot line for this. I mean, I don't want to go into too much details about the story for anyone out there that hasn't picked it up, but I have to say that so far with this one, at least, I'm enjoying it. So I probably will start to look into some of the other Batman storylines. I don't know. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews in terms of the new 52, and honestly, some of the other characters in the DC universe, I'm not particularly big fans of. So I guess it probably wouldn't really matter to me too much how much the storylines have changed. It does seem like they have updated Batman and Bruce Wayne quite a lot in this new comic series, just in terms of just sort of modernizing the characters a bit more, I think. I mean, the Gotham design still has this sort of very old 1930s kind of Art Deco feel to it in terms of the city design itself, but a lot of things are very modernized, especially in terms of the technologies that Batman employs. It does seem throughout the various iterations of Batman that his family keeps getting more and more and more rich. I mean, at the point that the character is at now, Bruce Wayne is essentially sort of like, you know, I know he's always supposed to have been this sort of millionaire playboy type character, but he's introduced into this one as even more of like a real sort of powerful mover and shaker type guy who's just going beyond philanthropy to sort of really almost kind of being in control of the economy of the most of the city.
Well, you know, Wayne Industries has always been a big powerful force as far as when it came to Gotham City.
Right. No, I mean, I get that. And I know that, you know, that's a thing that's been played up more and more. But like I said, it just seems like as the various Batman reboots come through, like it seems like his family and Batman himself has more and more money to sort of play around with, both in shaping Gotham and in terms of the technologies that he employs, which, you know, that's fine. Whatever, you know, it's a fantasy story. So, I mean, you can kind of put whatever you want into it. And this new comic series is written by Scott Snyder with art by Greg Capullo and Jonathan Glapion. I don't know. I can never pronounce anybody's name, so.
Well, maybe they should do a Batman story where he's like broke.
That might be kind of interesting, like sort of like a crazy homeless Batman.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Like Batman broke.
I could get behind that.
That'd be kind of cool. What else have you read?
The only other thing that I've read was I heard that there was a new Watchmen comic coming out. So I was extremely skeptical about it, but I figured, you know what? No, I'll go ahead. I'll read it. So I, you know, pick up the new Before Watchmen series, Minutemen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess apparently Before Watchmen is going to end up being a seven series run, seven different miniseries. This first one is called Minutemen, and I guess these are all supposed to be obviously prequels to the Watchmen, telling et cetera, setting up the series of events that happened before. I have to say that I'm not impressed at all. Like, I just, all of the things that I was sort of skeptical about them doing wrong, I was right about. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know. I mean, really, this is one of those cases where, I mean, I normally kind of like to thumb my nose a little bit at Alan Moore and his crankiness, because, you know, he complains a lot. I mean, I fully understand the sort of transition between comics and film and things like that. Like, that stuff doesn't bother me, where you're translating the story into a different medium. You know, that is fine, especially because film has a sort of a tendency to reach a far larger audience. And so I think that that's something that I can kind of understand. But in the case of just Alan Moore, I think in an interview pointed out that essentially saying that DC is just doing this because they want money. And that's exactly what this feels like. I mean, aside from the names of the characters, there's no connection to the original series. I mean, it just feels like they've got this franchise and they know that people know this franchise and it became an extremely popular movie. So they're putting it out there because there's lots of new readers who have just seen the movie and they're going to see the comics and they're going to buy it, sort of thing. But it doesn't capture any of the essence at all of The Watchmen. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. I don't know. I mean, it's not a terrible comic. And honestly, I mean, the story itself that they're telling is okay. And I think that if it was told with a different set of characters, if the artist and writer for this book, Darwin Cook, had essentially taken the storyline that he has and just kind of did with it what Alan Moore ended up doing with The Watchmen, whereas, you know, Alan Moore originally had intended to write The Watchmen using existing DC characters, and DC said, no, we don't want you to use our franchise in that way. So he's like, well, fine, I'll just make up my own characters and write the story the way that I want to do it. And he did that, and it became this you know, classic landmark comic book work. And then it stands alone as itself. It doesn't need to have anything else added to it. So, I mean, this story, obviously, it wouldn't have been anywhere near as good as what Alan Moore did, but if he had done it with just his own characters and told it as his own story, it would have been so much of a better thing. Like this, it just feels like it's just some random story that kind of got shoehorned into the Watchmen's world, and it doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like it plays with the characters too much. I mean, I know that the Minutemen, in terms of the Alan Moore series, you know, they're all characters that only get told through flashback, really. I mean, so their story isn't completely fleshed out, but I think that it was told well enough that it didn't need to have any new details added to it. Like, everything about the Watchmen comic was fine as it is. It told the story that it needed to tell, and then that was it. It was done. There was nothing else that really needed to be done with it. And now, essentially, what it feels like they're doing is they're just trying to set up to have an ongoing Watchmen comic that's just kind of run forever until, you know, the end of DC, basically.
It felt like a cash cow to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's I read the comic, and by the end of it, I was just like, they're just doing it for money. I was so thoroughly disappointed that it's been a long time since I felt that disappointed over a comic. I mean, I've read comics that I don't really like, and I've read, you know, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of superhero comics, so a lot of times I read some of those comics and I'm just like, you know, I have sort of a lackluster response to it, but, you know, I can appreciate it a little bit more with other characters, with, like, you know, Batman and Superman and some of these, you know, Spider-Man, these types of huge iconic characters which were sort of created to be transparent to whoever was writing them, you know, so each person could kind of contribute their own little thing to the mythos of these characters, but they were supposed to sort of...
Well, that's how they were designed. That's how they were built. Yeah. They have 50 years of backstory to...
Right.
So that you walk into that comic book knowing exactly what you're getting.
Exactly.
Whereas Watchmen, you know, you read Watchmen and immediately realized this is not a superhero comic book. This is some gritty, nasty, realistic shit that's going on here.
Yep. Well, even just beyond that concept, I mean, the characters were created with specific personalities and they were created very specifically to fit within the story that was being told and that was told.
Right.
And that's it. Like, there's not anything more that you can do with these characters that hasn't already been done. So now it's just making up new things and, like, having these characters doing things that don't really have anything to do with anything, because it doesn't – I don't know.
Well, let's take a step back real quick and let's inform the readers what this book is actually about. This book takes place – basically, the Night Owl is writing his book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the book that is very prominent throughout the Watchmen, you know, stuff that they reference throughout and whatnot. And so that's where this storyline is kind of taking place from that point of view.
Right.
Now, when I read it personally, I was like, okay, well, this is kind of – I'm a little curious as to what's going on here, blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't as horribly as offended as you were until I got to the last page, where it then showed the story of the Dawn Trader again, you know. And I was like, really? The comic that was within the Watchmen comic, they're doing that again in this one. And at that point, that's when I felt like I was completely – like this was a cash cow. This is nothing more than just a way to generate revenue and screw the fans and screw Alan Moore, screw the original piece of work. We're just here to make some money, and there you go.
And now, of course, I mean, I want to say that I realize that that's the whole point of comic books, really, is to generate money.
Sometimes you just have a story to tell.
Well, yeah, from the perspective of the writers, maybe. But in terms of the comic book companies themselves, they're running a business, and I understand that point. But sometimes I think that really, like, it seems like they try to operate against their own best interests.
It feels like it's a Time Warner move. You know, it is Time Warner that owns DC, right? Or Warner Brothers or what have you.
Right.
It feels like it's something that came down from them. You know, I understand. I get that we all need to pay rent and we all need to eat. I get that Darwin Cook, you know, as an artist and writer, he needs to pay rent. And that he's doing that. Maybe somewhere deep inside of him, he actually loves The Watchmen, and maybe this story was something that generated inside of his mind that he wanted to tell. You know, like, there's a lot of fanfics, and there's a lot of other stories out there that don't revolve around books. I mean, novels have been doing it for a long time. Don't really, include the original artist or writer's perception, and they just do it because they feel it's like a story that generated in their mind having read the original piece of work. You know, I get that. Mm-hmm. Totally get that. However, there's a difference between, it's not my lack of respect or love for what Darwin Cook is trying to do. It's my lack of respect of what Warner Brothers is trying to do. They have plenty of other properties out there that they're making money on, that they're able to keep afloat on. DC Comics, I mean, they're putting out some of the best movies that have come out, recently. Their animes, their animation films are blowing Marvel out of the water. So they don't need to make more money, but it just, that's what this feels like, is that they're just wanting to make more money. And what's sad is these series are going to do one of two things. They're either A, going to make us appreciate Alan Moore's Watchmen even more than we already have, because compared to this crap, we respect him and his craziness even more. And they're helping to validate his reactions to it. Or they're going to make us – it'll cheapen the original work. They'll say, oh, well, this would have been nice if it was in the original work, because maybe then we could have been filled in a little bit more, or something along those lines. It also feels like they're doing this so they have another excuse to make a Watchmen prequel movie.
You know, at this point, it really wouldn't surprise me if that sort of thing was announced. And I can't say that I – can see this series actually contributing anything to the Watchmen mythos. Like, it's probably going to add on to stuff, but it's basically like kind of slapping some epoxy on the Venus de Milo and then
adding her arms.
All right. Just kind of like, let's glue some arms on this and make it better. It's like, well, you know, it might have had arms at one point, but it doesn't need arms now. It just leave it as it is, as it.
So there you have it. There's Brian's opinion on the Before Watchmen. will you continue reading the series, at least to see what happens?
I don't know. I was so disappointed that I don't know that I can. I'll give it another try, I guess, just to sort of be fair and see if it, maybe it just was like a slow start or something, but I don't see anything coming out of it.
Well, I'll continue reading it just because I want to see if it gets any better or any worse, but at least have something to talk about on the show.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll be my new Blue Water segment.
There you go. This week on Before Watchmen. There you have it, guys. Brian, if there's nothing else, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break and come back and wrap up the show.
Okay.
Be right back, guys.
Hey, I'm Penn from Mostly Harmless Entertainment. Come check out all our cool videos and movies that we do at mostlyharmlessent.com. You can also find us on YouTube at YouTube/mostlyharmless. Check out all the cool stuff we're doing around Redlands and IE and California and Washington and the world stuff. Okay, bye.
And welcome back to the panel cast. All right, that pretty much wraps up the show. Brian, what's going on with you? Are you going to be putting out more columns and whatnot?
I'm going to try to start getting a little bit of more writing done for the website now that I'm done jerking my gherkin at school for the time being.
Awesome. Can we expect any more Geek Girls episodes or anything like that?
You know, as far as that, I was just thinking about that. I really would like to get Geek Girls going again. I was actually thinking what I probably would want to do is to, you know, I mean, I've talked about this a bunch of times about trying to sort of bring some people in. I have a lot of prospective people that are kind of interested, but nothing's really going anywhere just yet, but it is still something that I want to do. So I'm hoping that I can get something moving on the Geek Girls this summer. But right now that's a TBD.
All right. I know we get a lot of people asking about it, so hopefully we see that again soon.
Yeah, I really would like to, because I think what my goal to do for the podcast is to sort of like reintroduce a new sort of like female geek themed podcast, you know, to sort of, I guess, provide, what I want to do is to kind of have it be a podcast that anyone can listen to, but with the goal in mind of sort of establishing the idea that there are female geeks and this is what they're about, and sort of a thing like that, like kind of just put a little bit more of a female perspective on geekdom, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot more females showing up on a day-to-day basis out there, so there is an audience for them, and we're all excited to hear it. So hopefully you can get that going soon.
Yeah, I would love to. As far as other projects, I mean, you know, definitely help out wherever I can as far as the comic book series that you've got ongoing. I know that, unfortunately, with my school schedule, it's kind of eaten into a lot of the time that I've had to contribute to Forbidden Panel, but I still, you know, I want to help out with the comics. I want to help out with the editing and whatever else I can do with that. I definitely still have got plans for continuing my work on the
ZKS role-playing game.
On the ZKS role-playing game.
Yay.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, Brian is the letterer on all of the ZKS books that we have, and pretty much almost all the books that we do. You did ZKS as well as El Super Maximo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he does a great job with that. That's exactly what he wanted to be when he was a child, so I'm helping him live out his dream.
Yep. It's all about Comic Sans, but they won't let me use it, so.
No. Abaddon. That's the only font you're allowed to use from now on. All right, well, thanks for popping back on. Hopefully we'll see you on the show more often.
I look forward to it.
And I think we've stretched this out as much as humanly possible. That's something special for you guys. Two shows, one right after another. So two shows in 2 days. That's pretty impressive, even for us. Again, we're doing the countdown to 100. Episode 100 is coming up. We're going to try and get it done in time for San Diego Comic-Con. Well, we will be doing interviews and talking to people and doing news updates and whatnot at Comic-Con on the floor itself in an effort to try and, just get more news out to you guys, as well as doing free giveaways and all kinds of fun stuff. So stay tuned to Forbidden Panel for more updates and information. Thanks again, Brian, for joining us. It's been a long time. We sure did miss you. Well, I didn't, but I'm sure somebody out there did.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody did.
Somebody somewhere missed you. So, yeah, for Brian, this is AJ. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys on episode 96.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.